The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, an NBA head coach and player were among 31 people who were arrested yesterday in the United States in connection with two major federal gambling investigations, which include illegal sports betting and allegedly rigged poker games. Terry Sheridan, Senior Director of News at WSHU Public Radio, is on the line. Terry, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Pat.
Now, this is an extraordinary story. It's like something from a Hollywood movie. Will you tell us about the gambling scam?
Well, right now, there are two scandals involved in this indictment. One is that, again, something called prop bets here in the States, in which people could bet on something that was going to happen inside a game, such as a player coming out of the game, someone being injured, etc. And the two, I guess, I don't want to say stars, but the two main players involved in this are Terry Rozier. He plays for the Miami Heat, and Chauncey Billings. He's a Hall of Fame coach for the Trailblazers, the Portland Trailblazers, and they're accused of telling people that certain things are going to happen on certain days. For instance, in March of 2023, Rozier is accused of telling someone he's going to come out of the game early. And in February 2023 as well, Billings is accused of telling someone that LeBron James was not going to be available to play in the game. Now, LeBron is not accused of any wrongdoing in it. He was just mentioned in it. The second game, or the second scheme, is a series of fixed poker games that both Rozier and Billings are accused of being part of, run by the New York mob, the New York Mafia, in which the games were fixed. They were the lure to get high-stakes gamblers to these games, in which certain technologies such as card shuffling or a fixed card shuffling machine was used, and then that information was relayed to people who relayed that to people inside the who were playing the game about who had the better hand.
Now, it is extraordinary. I mean, a shuffling machine for shuffling the deck that was fixed and fiddled. So it would deliver a hand to people, and in advance, those in the know would know what was in everybody's hand.
Right. So someone on the outside, the shuffling machine would send a signal about who probably had the best hand. That was sent to someone outside the room, who then would send a signal inside the room to someone to, you know, give them that inside information so that they could, you know, win the game, so that the aim was fixed. And the basketball players were used as the bait in this.
Yeah, the idea being that people who wanted to mix with celebrity and play cards with big celebs, they'd be high rollers and they'd come in and they would literally lose their shirts. But the technology, I mean, it's extraordinary. They'd X-ray tables.
Mm-hmm. They had, these were highly organized. It's almost like a James Bond movie in which the information was given back to people so that people inside the room at the table would know who had the best hand, who was not playing good. And then the whole thing was, when these people lost their shirts, then the mob would go after them to collect their bills.
And the other device they used were high-tech glasses, where those wearing those glasses could look at somebody's hand, see, if you like, the B-side of the cards, and know what the face of the card actually said. Extraordinary stuff. What will happen now? Who's going to be, well, charged, and who's going to go to jail?
Well, again, there's over 30 people that have been charged in this. If Reznor and Billings are found guilty of this, you know, not only are they going to lose their career, but they're going to be expelled from the league. They're going to jail. I mean, some of the racketeering charges that this is, or the insider trading charge, again, on the information on the prop bets, that's very serious crime. That's the same charge that is used against people on Wall Street, for instance, who share stock tips before something's going to happen.
So if an individual says, for example, I'm going to tariff a country, and the stock market goes wild, and then that person withdraws that threat of a tariff, they could be done for the same thing.
I could. It's very similar, Pat.
Now, speaking of tariffs, there were ongoing discussions between the United States and its biggest trading partner, which is its neighbor, Canada. And now they have been stopped because of an ad run by Ontario.
That's right. Trump says he's cutting off the trade negotiations with Canada. He says he was motivated by an ad that was, as you said, paid for the province of Ontario that featured Ronald Reagan criticizing tariffs back in a 1987 radio address. Again, he put something out on social media, basically saying tariffs are very important to the national security of the United States, and he called it egregious behavior. All trade negotiations with Canada are hereby terminated.
Now, clearly, Trump is in a fit of pique over this. Is this just a temporary little thing? And, you know, when he calms down, trade talks will resume.
I mean, who knows? I mean, we can go back to Taco. You know, Trump always chickens out, but we'll see what happens. I mean, this is something that, if it goes through, will not only hurt Canada, but it'll hurt people in the United States, not only those who use products that are made or partially made or partially imported into the states, but the communities along the border, the states who actually have basically their own trading policy with Canada, and probably specifically those in the Northeast who are bordering Ontario.
Now, the other thing that is really vexing American farmers particularly is what he's doing to Argentina. First of all, he's bailing them out by effectively investing US dollars in the Argentinian economy, which is a basket case. But then he is talking about buying Argentinian beef, which would be maybe cheap to buy given their difficulties. And this is annoying American beef producers.
Absolutely. I mean, again, the whole thing is, you know, the price of beef in the United States has risen dramatically over the past, or since the beginning of the year. Actually, a little bit before, to be fair, the beginning of the year. But by buying the beef from Argentina, which does help Argentina, it is hurting the American beef farmer, the American beef industry. Now, let's be clear here. We're not talking small-time farmers for the most part. We're talking big agribusiness. But there are billions of dollars involved in this, and they're saying, well, wait a minute, why are you sending the money to Argentina and then just telling us, the American beef business, we have to lower our prices for the consumer? So for the first time, the American beef industry has not given unqualified support to President Trump. They're saying that they are not in step with this policy.
Now, this is the second group of producers that he's annoyed, because with China deciding we're not buying any American soya, and that caused a crisis already for the soya producers. But then Argentina, the country being bailed out by the US, is then taking over the Chinese market for soya by selling Argentinian soya to China.
That's right. And again, people may not think of the importance of the soybean product here in the United States and what role it plays in world trade, but that is a very significant hit. I mean, American soybeans is a major, along with corn, is a major crop that is exported to throughout the world.
Now, we'll move to another topic. While he's erecting tariff barriers everywhere around the United States, within the United States, he's demolishing part of the White House.
The East Wing, yes. The East Wing is all but gone. There might be like a little bit of it. It's all to build the ballroom that he's been talking about, that he is saying that everyone has wanted. He hasn't defined everyone, but that everyone has wanted for over 100 years. So basically, the East Wing of the White House is gone now. That's where the First Lady and her office was. And what has people upset is that he has just done it. He didn't go through, as you can say, proper channels, whether it was through Congress, through Washington, D.C., or through any of the government agencies that oversee the White House. The president, the way to look at it is, whoever it is basically just a renter. And think about if you rented your house to someone and they did major alterations. This is something what it's like. The fact that, you know, he says, and his supporters say, well, other presidents have done so. That is true. But no one has really demolished a big part of the White House, nor has anyone done a project of this magnitude without any congressional or any other government agency support.
Now, do you remember when Mark Carney was in the White House and he played Trump very well in his first visit? And he referred to the fact that, you know, the White House, you can't buy it, it's not for sale. But it turns out the ballroom is for sale. There's a whole list of mega donors who are going to cough up $300 million to pay for this gaudy ballroom. And among them is not Donald Trump. The list of donors does not include the Trump family. So he's using other people's money to build a monument to himself.
And he has asked other people to contribute money, and he has offered to have their names inscribed into the walls of the ballroom so that they will be perpetually remembered in future generations. But yes, the fact that it's over $300 million, he's saying that it's private money that he's going to pay. But no, there is no donation there from the Trump family or from Donald Trump.
Now, he is set about changing the face of the White House. The East Wing particularly will become a ballroom with lots of gilt, whether it's real gold or not, one can only wonder. But in the meantime, he's already transformed the Rose Garden into what looks like, a holiday resort. Gaudy beach umbrellas over tables. It's quite extraordinary. Everything seems to be for sale in that White House, including pardons if you're a crypto convict.
That's right. He pardoned yesterday a Chinese crypto boss who again has donated, and I'm using donated in inverted commas, to his campaign over the years. And now there is a pardon. Last week it was George Santos who didn't pay for it, but who. But who has stood by Donald Trump, and it was sort of seen as a reward for him.
The final act of venality, I suppose, that we want to mention in passing is Trump is seeking $230 million as recompense from the Department of Justice for them pursuing him over his wrongdoing.
That's right. It's a lawsuit that he is suing the Department of Justice, which any American citizen can do if they feel that they have been wronged by the Department of Justice through either a malicious or false prosecution. What's extraordinary about this is the amount, and also that he is setting the amount, and the people who will approve whether he gets paid or not are people that he appointed that were either his lawyers during some of these investigations or people that he has appointed, such as Pam Bondi to the attorney general to the position. So it's sort of it's unique.
Terry Sheridan, thank you very much for joining us on the line.
You're welcome.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.